This morning we will continue in a short series of studies that we began last week, and I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 1 with me, if you would, please. And just a brief recap for our pastor and his wife's sake, and anyone who may be hearing these recorded messages for the first time. We began a short series, and I say short because I'm not quite sure how many the Lord will lead us in. I'm just going to pray that it will all be of Him, and He'll lead me to what I'm going to study next week in this. But I have titled this study, Divine Declarations. And as I said at the beginning of last week's study, we could really begin here at verse 1 of Genesis and spend the next thousands of years covering all the divine declarations, couldn't we? Because this is God's Word. And that was our subject for last week, is that God declares, God, He who is divine, declares this His Word. Yet the world does not believe it. Only those who God has come to and given a new heart, the gift of faith, will believe that this is God's Word. Yes, sir. We don't stand here and debate what is said in this Word. We declare it. I've heard our pastor mention many times, I don't know and understand everything in this book, and anyone who says they do is a liar. But I believe it. I have no idea, no comprehension, what it means fully when God says He was made sin for us. But I believe it. I know it's true. How do I know it's true? The same way I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Because God the Father has revealed it to me. Yes. Not in anything that I have learned of my own. Not in anything that I have done. Not because I'm smarter than I was when I was 40. But because He, our Lord and Savior, is the one who has made me to believe. Made me willing in the day of His power. This morning I want to look at the declaration that God is God. Well, what do you mean by that, John? Of course He's God. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning the world does not believe that. No, they believe He's some kind of deity. And the reason I know this is because I used to know the same thing. Or at least I thought I knew. He's some kind of a deity who has created everything, put everything in motion, got everything going. And now He's working on plan B. Because man sinned and went against God, so He had to do that. That's what the world believes. And then they believe that He provided a way for them to be saved if you will do one or two things. And then they all come up with all their own different ways of what to do to be saved, don't they? God, He who is God, He who deserves to be called God, the only God, He doesn't say that at all. No, He says in verse 1 of Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There was nothing, nothing but God alone, and He alone was the creator of all things. He put everything into place and motion, and there is only one God. There is only one who has the power to be called God. All others are weak in one way or another, and they come short of the true God's glory. The true and living God is so holy, so perfect, so righteous in all that He is and all that He does, He cannot even look upon the iniquity, the imperfection, the shortcomings of the, and the sort of that are of mankind. The true God of Scripture rules over everything in His creation, and nothing is up to that fictitious word fictitious word, chance. There is no such thing as chance. This God, the God that is spoken of here in scriptures, is in control of everything, including the dust that floats around behind us that we see in the windows. I love that scenario that our pastor has pointed out many times before. Because it really does come down to that little flake that's floating there is floating there because the Lord Jesus Christ put it there and wants it to float there. He says he knows every hair on your head. And for those of us who have a little bit left, that's enough. I love the studies that we have gone through with Steve Doyle. All the minute little details that we've seen our Lord put into the temple, into the garments, all the details we see put into the scriptures regarding those little minute things. Not only do they point us to Christ, they point us to the power of God in knowing all things. The God of this book rules everything and is the only one who deserves the title God. There is no such thing as luck or chance. No, the God of Scripture is declared to have power and therefore He rules over all creation. Turn over to Psalms chapter 89, if you would please. The 89th Psalm. In Psalms 89, we begin at verse 5. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders. O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab into pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are thy habitation. For thy throne, mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Why is it so important that we talk about this one God, this one who rules over everything, that we put aside these fake gods who do a little bit and leave the rest up to men? Because everything else is weak. This is a God of power. All power. All power belongs unto Him. He created everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And there is a people, a remnant. Look at verse 15 again. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in thy light and the light of thy countenance. There is a people, a remnant, a congregation chosen to be the recipients of His mercy. A people who, though we deserve His wrath, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, we will receive His gift to believe. It's not something that we can do on our own. It's not something that we cannot be saved by making a decision or walking down some aisle. No, what does our God say? What does the God of all power, he who declares himself to be God, say? He says, ye must be born again. God looked down on all of mankind, and there was none that seeketh after him. No, they had all gone their own way. Every one of us, huh? Yes. The way of destruction. Dead in trespasses and sin, he says. As he takes his people and teaches us how dead we truly are. How can we not love the God you spoke of? How can we not love this one who claims to be our husband? Who is our husband? How can you not love one who loves you despite your hate for him? This way of destruction, dead in trespasses and sin, yet not all are fitted for this destruction. No, some vessels of creation have been fitted to receive his mercy. Praise the Lord. There is a remnant. The potter has a people. And blessed are they. Loved by God before the worlds were created, God sent his only begotten Son to redeem his people. You don't need to turn there, but in 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. John 1:1, you'll remember we looked at this last week. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All power in heaven and in earth and under the earth has been given unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ. You may also remember what we read in last week, John 10:27, where it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. See, this is the God declared in Scripture right here, folks. All power given unto him. Nothing can take us out of his Father's hand. Nothing, not even you, not even me, can take myself out of my Lord's hand. He loves me despite myself. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The God of all glory became a man that he would take the sins of his people and redeem them unto himself. He who is perfect in all ways, he who is righteous in all that he does, was made to be sin, that all for whom the Father gave him would be restored and made righteous in him. There is only one God, and all the fullness of the Godhead is seen in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, you have seen me. You have seen the Father. If you see the Lord Jesus Christ in every page, like our brother Mike brought out in his devotion, yes, it was talking about Solomon, the king, but Solomon was nothing more than a picture of who is the true king. Joseph was a picture of a leader, a ruler in Egypt. But he was nothing more than a picture of the true ruler over all things. The one who holds the keys to everything, to all blessings. All blessings. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Why is this declaration that God is God and there is only one? Why is that so important to a hell-deserving sinner? I can only speak to you from my case. I don't know where you stand. I don't know how you're looking at things because I don't read anybody's heart. But I can tell you what I am. I am the most hell-deserving sinner I know. And hearing about the God of these words, of this book, the one who declares himself God of everything, brings peace to my soul. Because if he declares it, then it is so. That's not anything like what the world is offering, is it? The world offers you this. There is a God, and he has done some things, but you need to receive it. You need to accept it. You need to do this. And I know that if it was left to me, I would mess it up. I've seen myself mess up too many things to think that I could do it right. So I need somebody who will. I need somebody who has all power in everything so that when he says something will happen, it will happen. What other peace could you have for your own loved ones? I know of one who prayed, begged for me to come to church. And eventually, every once in a while I would, just to suffice the begging. It didn't do any good. You see, it wasn't until God was ready to reveal himself to me that he brought me to church. I need a God like that. Because I wasn't going to come without him. I need to know that my faith in this one who is the true and living God is a sure thing. Because I know my sins are sure. So I need a sure Savior. And this one who is God in the flesh is as sure can be. Everything else is sinking sand. I see only one rock. I see only one sure foundation. I see only one cornerstone to build on. And his name is my Lord Jesus Christ. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Lord, help me to lean on Jesus' name. You see, the God of all glory cannot be thwarted. His people shall be saved. There will be no empty seats in heaven. Are you with me in Ephesians 1? Our brother Tom Sawyer loves these verses and read them over and over and over again, not just in devotionals, but at home. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, to all of God's people who read these words. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Amen. Wherein if he hath abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Amen. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. A bride who sees the love the groom has for her. Oh, what praise we have in our hearts. What love we have in our hearts, as you brought out, Mike, for him who first loved us. Yes. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. God declares himself to be God. And that is our peace. That is our only hope. He declares his only begotten Son to be the one worship. If you don't worship the Son, you don't worship the Father. That is our only hope. I need to know that my faith is a sure thing. And let it be to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory, we have been purchased by his blood to be with him for all eternity.
Yes, sir.
Folks, the God of Scripture declares he is holy. He is perfect. He is righteous in everything. And the only way to be with him is to be as righteous as he is. He cannot look upon iniquity. And all that are in his Son that we just read about here in Ephesians, in the Lord Jesus Christ, all for whom the Father gave his Son, all that are in his Son are as righteous and holy as he is right this very moment. God sees our sins no more. I don't know about you, but that blesses me. For a time, I still have to look at them. But he's not looking at them at all.
No, sir.
They've all been laid on his Son, my Lord and Savior. God sees our sins no more. They are gone as far as the west is from the east. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful. So thankful that the Lord has not left me to my own desires and my own imagination. My imagination that would come up with a weak little God. One that fits my own desires. Or even worse yet, my imagination that would have me with power over him. No. I am thankful God has given me, for his Son's sake, faith to believe his declaration that he is God and he is God alone.